Well, I love coming to this church. Love your pastor so much. He is such a blessing to us. Thank you for allowing him to come to Oak Hill once a year. It's the favorite Sunday of worship at Oak Hill. I trust I'll be deeply in your prayers this morning. Book of Colossians chapter 1. We'll pick up at verse 12, read through 14. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I want to notice three things with you this morning as we take further our thoughts of the gospel. We've tried to notice with you this weekend that Christianity is the gospel. And then we notice that Christianity actually is fruit born of the gospel. Not fruit born from determination, not fruit born from just sheer hard work, but fruit that actually is born as easily as a blossom on a tree that produces over time into a luscious fruit. It comes from deep within and is natural and joyful, not hard and a taskmaster. And this morning I want to notice with you the fact that Christianity is the personalization of the gospel. That is, it's the truths of the gospel actually coming into my soul to where it's personal, so personal to me. And we'll try to notice three things in that regard. And first of all, just simply that the gospel is practical. It's functional. It actually affects how I live. And then I want to notice with you that it's crazy personal. I mean, it is. The gospel is so crazy how personal it becomes. And then it's deeply, deeply, deeply joyful. Well, first of all, just the thought that it is profoundly functional. Notice this first thought, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father. Now, the gospel is certainly more than emotion, but if it's anything less, you haven't got the gospel. It's impossible to have had the gospel come to you and not be emotionally affected. Now, it's not sheer emotion, I grant you that. It's not just all of a sudden feeling something going up your spine that you don't know where it came from. It's not that. But it is the Word of God, the Word of the truth of what Christ has accomplished for a sinner's soul that affects you. Now, it's okay as a Christian to say, you know, I'm not as happy as I ought to be, but I want to be happy. Be okay to say that. It's honest, right? Be okay to say, I'm not as happy as I ought to be. I know I need to pray more. Be fine to say that. Be okay to say, I'm not as happy as I ought to be. I need to, you know, be in the scriptures more. Be fine. That's truthful. But it's not okay to say, I'm so happy in the Lord. Everything's fantastic, super, and nothing's ever going to be greater in my life. And underneath, you're cold as an ice cube. That's a pure lie. Yet how many of us are often there? I'm not saying that it's a great thing when someone greets you on Sunday morning and they say, how are you? And you unload the whole bale of hay and drag them down into the gutter with you. But on the other hand, neither do we need to be so falsely just superficial on the other hand. This passage is actually saying that the gospel is profoundly functional so that this is not something purported. This is not some put on. Paul is saying, I'm giving thanks to God. Is that where you are this morning? Now, maybe relationships aren't what they ought to be. Maybe finances are below the standard you want them to be. You know, maybe you don't even like the weather or it's a bad hair day, whatever it is. But yet, from deep inside, you think, but I'm so thankful for redemption in Jesus Christ. So much so that I don't bottom out. I mean, you're at the bottom, but you don't bottom out. You know, even at the passing of loved ones, it's as bad as it is. It's as bad as it gets. And yet we sorrow not as others that have no hope. So even though the world's, you know, going to blank in a basket, we can get up in the morning and look out and say, God is so good. That's what Paul is saying. And he's giving thanks to the Colossians who are living in a world that's very unlike ours, where they may have to give their lives for Christ, possibly had very little to eat, didn't have a wardrobe where they could pick out what they liked the best that they hadn't worn for, you know, 3 months, so nobody would remember that they had it. And yet says we're thankful. The gospel is profoundly functional. It actually affects you. But then notice how it is deeply and crazy personal. Paul says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us. Up to this point, Paul has been talking about the Colossians. He's been saying, I give thanks for you. I'm thankful for the fruit that you bore. I'm thankful that Epaphras brought the gospel to you. But now Paul says, I mean, Paul can't stand it. He's absolutely built up so much. It's like in the book of Ephesians, where in that first passage, the longest sentence that you've ever seen in your life has more modifiers, clauses, and phrases than is grammatically even sensible. And yet he's bubbling forth, some forth from the very depths of his gut. He just cannot stop giving praise to the Lord. And you're so acquainted with Ephesians 1, aren't you? He chose us before in Christ. He's predestinated us, and it's to the praise of His glory. And we have redemption through His name. And He's abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And on Paul goes. And it's like a geyser just boiling up. And no longer can Paul say, I'm thankful for you Colossians. He said, I'm thankful for what Christ has done for my soul. And it is just phenomenal when we get a grasp, or rather, God gets us and gives us this grasp, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us. Hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. I don't know what you think about sin this morning. Everything that's wrong in your life is sin. One thing about the movie Noah yesterday, if it didn't portray anything else, it did show depravity, graphically. But maybe depravity isn't blood and guts. Would God send somebody to hell for covetousness? I mean, really. You know, like, I wish I had a coat like you've got on this morning. You know, I've had this one a year and a half and I can't stand it any longer. Would he? Yeah. You say, that's awful. No. What's awful is that I think I would want something besides the beauty and the love of God Himself. That's what's offensive to God. The fact that I'm so mesmerized by all the stuff in this world that glitters like bright stars. The only thing that's going to change us from being attracted to all the starry images around us is like the sun coming up, so that the sun is brighter than all the stars. And Paul is saying here, I'm giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us, me, to be a partaker, hath made us meet to be partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. Paul is saying, all the starry attractions that were in my life have now been eclipsed by the sun himself. And Paul said, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And he was talking about the covetousness in his heart to want anything besides Christ himself. And his brother John said, all that we want in this world, regardless of what it is a negative besides Christ. And what changed you or me this morning if you're desiring Christ? Or to whatever degree we're desiring Christ. Because all of us, perhaps, even if we are desiring, yet have areas where we're not desiring Him. But what changed? Think of the dramatic change with Paul. Think of what he was after, what he desired, what he was doing. The extent he would go to implement what he desired. We're the same way. We will lie, we will manipulate, we will fudge the truth, we will make things look different than they are to get our way, to promote ourselves, to make ourselves look better than we are, so that parents don't really know that I'm beginning to think this way, so that spouse doesn't realize, you know, I'd really rather stop on the way home and get a cup of coffee than I would go home and face the responsibilities, even though she's snowed under with the kids and all of that. I just need 15 minutes for myself. So, but Dickie, how do you know that? Well, I'd hate to tell you, but... What changes us? What changes us becomes deeply personal. He made me meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He changed me and made me fit to be partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. Friends, do you realize this morning what a remarkable blessing it is to love light? You say, well, what's darkness? Darkness is actually being so demented, being so depraved, to think my being ugly to somebody, to look down on somebody, to deride somebody, sibling, spouse, somebody at work, and it making me feel better, somehow thinking that's okay. That is so distorted. It is so dark. It brings weight, brings trouble. Darkness is thinking, I'd like to trade in my spouse for somebody else. Do you know how dark that is? Do you know how much trouble that brings? Do you know how horrid that is? And Paul says, I thank God. Yeah, there's part of me that's still so depraved it can be tantalized by such things. But thanks be to God, even though that's there, He has made me fit for another world, for a world of light. So that the temptation here is not given into, but I actually, though I never do it perfectly, I want to walk in the light. Where there's love and blessing and honesty and tenderness and kindness and affection and joy and service to others. Do you sense the depth of your sin this morning? The depth. That to any degree I want anything besides Christ that is dark. But Christ. Think of the light of Christ. Woman caught in the very act of adultery. Think of the light to her soul. Think of the light you that are without sin, cast the first stone. Neither do I condemn you. Think of the light. Go and sin no more. You talk about freeing. You talk about uplifting. You talk about, oh, it's worth living in this world. Our heart is so dark by nature, so wretched by nature, so demented by nature, that we're drawn to this darkness. There's no way we could recover ourselves from this darkness. There's no way we would even know that there's anything but the darkness. And this morning, if you're desiring light, wanting light, wishing you had more light, what is it? Paul says, he did a work for me. He changed me. Now, if you're just saying, I'm kind of interested in this, but I'm not where you are, Brother Dickey. Well, believe me, I'm not far along as you think I am. But anyway, if you just say, I'm tired of my own way. I'm tired of my manipulative streak. I'm tired of thinking of working my fingers to the bone and absolutely just grinding it out, thinking I'll make life worth living somehow, somewhere. If you're just thinking there has to be more to life than this, God's already kissed you with His grace. He's already kissed you with His grace. There's already light shining in your soul. To even know there's got to be something better than this. And Paul is saying, it's His work that did that. He made us meet or suitable to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The thought here is actually of someone being lifted up. It was a military term in that day. It's actually someone was taken from here, like when the Babylonians took Israel and they picked up the population and brought it over here and put it back down. Friends, if you are drawn to the light, wanting this blessedness of peace and honesty and truth and forgiveness and kindness, the Lord has already picked you up, transported you, and sat you down at another location. And you're different. And hallelujah. Because the darkness of this world destroys everything that's good. Friends, this is so phenomenal. Giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. I mean, there's enough preaching here for, you know, forever, really, in light. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? And that's the thought we've been trying to zero in on. When he's talking about the power of darkness, he's talking about an authority, a command that is so overwhelming that you are made to do what you do. Now, we're all addicts this morning. You didn't know that, did you? Yeah. Call it habits. Call it what you want to call it. But it's like we are, you've said it, I've said it. It's like something makes me do this. I don't want to do it. But here he says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness, from that absolute control. The fact you even don't want to do it, you see, is an indicator you've been delivered. Now, friends, we are discussing the difference between religion and Christianity. We're looking at the fact that Christianity isn't doing more, trying harder, and it can also be, listen, when we're talking about being out of the will of God, we can be out of the will of God and in darkness in a religious way. Did you know that? It doesn't have to be in just an immoral way. We can be out of the will of God and in the darkness and going to church every Sunday. Yeah. I can be out of the will of God, totally not changed by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and studying my Bible every day. I've been there a lot of times. Oh, God, why do I have to get a message together for Sunday? It's like, I'd rather mow the yard. You mean I've got to sit here at this desk and try to study this book again? He said, Brother Dickey, that's wretched. Yeah, it's hellish. And God would send me to hell for that. But he delivers this so that even though I think that, I think I shouldn't think that. That is a deliverance, to even know that I shouldn't think it. And to not think it would be untouched by this light. But there could be someone caught up in a religion thinking they were doing well just because they made themselves continue to do it. Listen to this thought. Religion is, I'll scratch God's back because he's scratching mine. Yeah, that's why we're serving him. Christianity just simply says, Lord, because of who you are, I'll serve you, not because of what you do for me. Christianity says, I'm going to serve you, Lord, not for what you'll give me. No, I'll serve you, Lord, because of what you've already done for me. He said that's being changed into light. It's being transposed into a different realm. What realm are you in this morning? It's like, my family's not what I want it to be. Job's not like what I want it to be. People. You know, it's like the preacher that said, I love being a preacher. I just didn't have to deal with people. You know, that's kind of the way I am. I love being a pastor if I just didn't have to deal with people. Of course, they think, I love to hear preaching, but I didn't have to deal with the guy that delivers it. You know, works both ways, you know. That's where we are. But to be delivered from that, from religion, to actually come to the blessing of Christianity, which says, Lord, I want you in my life, period. Nothing has to come with it. If it's just you, it's heaven on earth. So that's what Paul is saying. And he's astounded at the Colossians who've been brought to this realm, that he knows the gospel changed. The fact that the gospel was accepted and believed and completely depended upon by them shows that the Lord had done a work in their hearts, and now they're no longer religionist, and they are seeing the difference that Christ just alone is all that they've needed. And then, friends, not only does he speak to them then of the change in the heart, what's actually been done in the new birth, how they have been made a completely different creature. But now he's going to begin to show, not only is it deeply personal where I see I'm not the same, and I'm thankful that it's done that for me, he begins to enter in, and I'm backing up to the thought that we began with to start with, that it is just shockingly thankful. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. I'm thankful to be an American. I trust you are. But I've got a better kingdom and a better citizenship. Paul is saying, I mean, he was a citizen of Rome, and it kept him from being strung up by the neck, you know, or perhaps cut off at the neck by the guillotine. I mean, Paul's glad for his citizenship, but he says, I'm in the kingdom of Christ, where love rules, forgiveness reigns, where blessedness is the standard of the day. And then this profound, absolutely astonishing declaration. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So we've been looking at the fact that we just know there's a better kingdom, know there's light, know there's blessedness. Gives evidence of where we are. And now he tells why Christ accomplished what he did for us. In whom, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Redemption was a term used in the slave trade. You're acquainted with the thought. Somebody was actually sold. Somebody's owned by someone else. But then a price is paid. And they're delivered. They're ransomed. And they're given freedom. All of our sins, all of our difficulties. Yes, we're in another kingdom. But if you're like me, every single day it gnaws at me. Dear God, I'm thankful. I want the light. I desire the light. I don't want to be the dark, but I'm still dark. I'm not wholly full of light. Okay, I'm in the kingdom of light. Yeah, thanks. But the darkness gnaws at me till I am sick of life. But then Paul says, he is in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You see, the gospel is going to declare for us how it actually is, though it's not yet fully in place in our understanding. It is absolutely in place concerning facts. And the gospel needs declared to us every day. The gospel is not the initial work. It is the ongoing work whereby I live by the truth of what the gospel says, even though reality seems to be telling me something else. We all live according to laws, every one of us trying to sanctify ourselves or justify ourselves. If we're not living by the Ten Commandments, you're living by the small L commandments. Am I a good husband? Nope, I missed on that one today. But I'll try to be a good, I'll drive 55. Yeah, I'm not going to go over the speed limit. I won't run the yellow. I'll cause a wreck, so I won't go through the yellow. I am absolutely going to obey the law. We are always somehow, some way. I'll be the best guy on the sports team. I'll be the best at school, getting the good grades. Whatever it is, we all live according to either big L or little L. We're all living according to law. And we can trick ourselves or try to get others to say something about ourselves so that we think we're measuring up and we think we're okay. But if you're actually in the light, at some point along the way, and may God bless it to us all day, every day, we recognize I don't fit the big L and I don't fit the little L. I really am not what I need to be. And may it be so desperate that instead of keep trying, we actually crash in flames and we're brought to the understanding, but I've been redeemed and I have been forgiven. Even though I don't feel redeemed, I don't feel forgiven, there's a fact that I am forgiven and the Lord loves me fully, truly, forever, eternally. He looks at me fully through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't hold one thing against me. Friends, this fact is so profound, and listen to me, and you're not going to like what I'm going to say, because there's part of you that's still so under the bondage of the big L and the little L, you really are afraid about what I'm going to say. You can go and sin to the hilt, and it doesn't make a lick of difference if you're under the blood of Christ. He said, but Nicky, that's blasphemous. That'll make people go out and sin. Will it? People seem to be doing a very good job on their way anyway, whether I tell them they can or not. And quite honestly, it's the same way with you. You need to get this, and I need to get it. Because love is the strongest motive on the planet. And you have been loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is an old message, but it's the most current message there is. The placard over your case says, forgiven, redeemed. Redeemed by what? Look at me. I know it. Look at you. Look at me. I am a mess. I am a mess. I said it at home a while back. When I was young, I was going to change the world. You say, well, no wonder you're a mess. Well, I know. It was foolish thinking. You know, I was going to be the greatest preacher that ever was. You know. Yeah. I was going to make a mint of money. I'd be the best husband. Raise the best kids. Thankful for the kids. Thankful for the grandkids. But you know, I have to admit they're not perfect. And then I got to be 60. And I don't know how that happened. I won't tell you how much older than that I am. And now I've realized I cannot change myself. I cannot change the congregation I preach to. I cannot change anything. And neither can I or ever will become what I wanted to be. In one sense, my life has totally been unzipped. The seams have given way. Everything's out of joint. I have nothing, in a sense, that I can truly rejoice in. And my life's better than it's ever been. Why? Because more and more and more, and God help it to be really out the kazoo more, it's what Christ has done for me instead of what I'm doing for Him. I am absolutely, totally forgiven. You hate me? What's wrong with you? Christ loves me. Maybe someday you'll become like Christ. You know. So I'm not measuring up. I measured up in Him. He measured up for me. So I don't feel the law. He filled it for me. You can't get me down because I'm up in Christ. Friends, this is the news the world is looking for. This is the news you're looking for if God's blessed your soul to get it. And if you have gotten it, you need to get it every day, morning, noon, and night. You know, the child comes home, I wiped out on that test. Well, I'm sorry, but so what? Christ made 100. You know, he's got a 4-0 with the cross. And that's what's written over your life. I had a lustful thought. Keep from doing that. You know, get the internet hooked up so you're not tempted. You know, do all that. But realize, you're not gonna be perfect. You say, well, how can I live? Christ was perfect in your behalf. He said, brother, you're just saying you can go out and sin. No, I'm saying if you get who you are, you will be motivated through the freedom and the love and the joy and the thrill and the astounding, scandalous grace of God that He says, go and sin no more. I have sinned like that woman that was brought up and have been caught in the very act. But in Christ, I'm free. I've been redeemed through the blood of Christ. My friends, what are we talking about in this concern? I want to notice with you just a couple of thoughts in this sense. And that is, it's the Father that had this plan. If we back up and read the text, giving thanks unto the Father. You see, so often we think the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ paid a price. And here's the mean old number uno in the deity, who's an angry, domineering, hateful being. And then here's the Son. And so the Son went and redeemed us. And then the Son comes to the Father. And the Father says, I'll get him. I'm going to destroy him. I'm going to wipe him out. I'm going to send him to hell forever. And Christ is saying, oh, please don't do that, Father. Please stop. Please don't do that. I've paid the price. Please let me plead for them once more. Well, friends, I'll grant you, it's the blood of Christ that keeps us from the nether regions. But it was God's idea to send Christ. God so loved the world. It was the Father that chose you in eternity past. The Father said, I want that one for my jewels when I make up my crown. The Father said, I will have them be in heaven. And He said, who will go? And then the Son said, I will go. We have been reconciled unto the Father. It's the Father that said, I am satisfied with what the Son has done. You know this passage in the book of Romans, chapter 3, and I'll read it in your hearing quickly. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation of our sins. You have a Father in heaven. Some of you have been fatherless. Some of you have had fathers that have rejected you. All of us have had fathers that never measured up to what they ought to be. But we have a heavenly Father that loved you, friends, from before the world began and sent His darling Son, His own Son. So that now we are in the kingdom of His Son, and you are joint heirs with Him because of the redemption that's in Christ, because the blood of Christ has washed your soul white. That's what's been accomplished. No wonder Paul is saying, I see myself standing holding the coat of Stephen when he was stoned. What is your sin this morning? Oh, my sins. There's so many. Friends, I'm just sick when I think of it. But the gospel, the personalization of the gospel. How do you think of yourself? We're talking identity here. We're talking identity. We all try to find our identity. We're the best here. We do that. The grandest, or the smartest, or the, you know, and we get down into some real weird stuff, trying to build up our ego. No, here's your identity. It's when what Christ has done because the Father sent Him. And secondly, it's the fact that what Christ did redeemed you. Not your thinking of it, or pondering it, or feeling it. You see, the gospel, if nothing else, is a declaration of facts. Absolute facts. Every other religion is a philosophy. It's a pondering. It's a consideration. It's something that you ought to try. Maybe it'll make you feel better. The gospel is factual. There is a God. He actually made the world. Another thought about the movie. I Googled it this morning. Noah, named God's never mentioned. In fact, the director prided himself in the fact. I'm not against the movie. I love the movie. I'll go see it again this afternoon. Anybody go? Anybody want to go? It was super. Oh, I see a lot of frowns. It would be a waste of money, but I mean, you know, for a sci-fi, it was fine. But if nothing else, we see that we needed deliverance desperately. But there weren't any facts there. But here's the fact. God made the universe. God made us. He's the standard. We didn't measure up. It is totally justified that we would be banished forever and eternally. Because of the offense against the holy God. In fact, we are so dark by nature, it's unbelievable what we actually are in comparison to what we need to be. But the fact is, Christ on the cross. Now get this. If you don't get anything else, get this, friends. In what He did, He actually paid the price for sins. Psalm 22, in whom we have redemption through His blood. We're talking blood, gore, guts, nails in hands, spear inside. We're talking actual sun going dark. We're talking earthquake, rocks rent. This actually happened on this planet. four people it took place. Sometimes I forget it. But don't forget it here this morning for a few minutes. Listen to the Savior's. This is actually what took place. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not in the night season, and I'm not silent, but thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted that thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. And the Son of God is saying, but I cried unto thee and I was not delivered. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. You talk about expletives. There were more expletives hurled at the feet of the cross into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was just a failure and he was an imposter and he was a joke. But he was bearing our sin. He trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. What a mockery. But it was fact. And there he was. He goes on to say, it's like dogs were gnawing at my ankles and chewing it to the bone. He goes on to say in this passage, it's as if bulls were goring me, the bulls of Bashan. It's like the Texas Longhorns were after the guy that fell off, and there were no clowns in the arena, and they gored the Savior and they tromped the Savior, and the dogs were gnawing, and he did that factually for you, so that you, and I trust myself, we are free. You are free in the blood of the Lamb. When you get up of a morning, there's no sin to your charge. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who's even at the right hand of the Father. Friends, this is the gospel. This is the good news. This is the fact. And so we are to rejoice in it. That is to be the banner over us. What are you rejoicing in this morning? Solomon had just built the temple. I mean, friends, billions of dollars. Walls lined with gold over cedar. A magnificent, brilliant, dazzling edifice. And when he was there at the dedication, read it in 2 Chronicles 16. Maybe it's about chapter 16, but anyway, he was giving glory to God, not the temple. What do we dazzle in? Listen, you may have manicured yards. You may have gotten the best yard award, you know, last month. Maybe you got that sign out in your front yard. Listen, your yard compared to Solomon's yard is a wilted rose. You know, just get over it. But in Christ is something so much more grander than a yard. Than a person, than what someone thinks. It's what he's done for me. And we rejoice. Solomon was rejoicing in the Lord. Listen, we'll just touch as I close out the last Psalms. David was rejoicing, not in his kingdom, not in who he was. He was rejoicing in that Christ had paid the price for his sins. Psalm 146, praise ye the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Don't put your trust in princes, etc. Psalm 147, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto the Lord. It is a pleasant and praise is comely. Psalm 148, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights. Friends, you may not feel like things are going well. You may be wiped out, but keep your eyes on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again according to our justification. You may feel like everything's going backwards. Everything's gone wrong. I'm not making any progress. Listen, it's like you're on a ship that left Boston on the way to London. And you may feel like everybody's going the wrong way. The world's going backwards. Everything's headed south. And all the time, the ship's just on its way, friends. It's on its way to glory. It's going on towards its further seaport. That's the way things are. You're headed to glory. It hasn't slowed down a bit. You're headed that way. That's who you are. And rejoice in the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What are they doing in eternity? Brother John was reading those passages. They're singing glory, who hath redeemed us to God by his blood out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people. And we're going to be rejoicing forever. That's the reality of who we are. That's your identity. The gospel is crazy personal. May it be your identity. I thank you so much. You know, nobody planned to come with me this year. But to just keep me from totally bottoming out, that nobody would come and hear me preach the sermons I preach at home. God had Brother Jay Mackey's work bring him to Atlanta, so I'd have one person here from Oak Hill. So I can say, every year we've had someone here from Oak Hill. What y'all going to do this August? Help the Lord out. You know, don't make him have to providentially get you there. Make a decision now. Come and hear your pastor preach.